If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. Beloved, as our lessons from Holy Scripture recall for us today, faith means struggle. Faith involves struggle. Struggle and faith go together. Faith to be fully faithful engages with struggle. There are times and seasons when faith takes a hard life and makes it easier, and for that we are honestly grateful. But there are also times when faith takes an easier life and makes it harder, not for a joy in difficulty, but out of a genuine longing for something better. Here, faith leads us into a struggle to hold on to our roots. Here, faith leads us squarely into a struggle truly to face our condition. Here, faith leads us into the struggle to retain, to hold on to our hopes and dreams. Let us then struggle in faith to hold on to our roots. If ever there were an age that could hear and appreciate the teaching of James about the tongue as a fire, it is our own. You know, the preacher here does not need to bring exegesis to bear or to give explanation for the wisdom proffered or to bring examples, many or few. We know in our evening hours of listening to cable news. We hear in our mornings of commuting with the radio on. We learn and read and inwardly digest what speech can do for ill. We are coming to a point where even Proverbs 1 and James 3 are too tepid, too mild to describe our national condition. At some point, we will need to repair to the prophet Amos and to drink the hard, cold medicine of his teaching. When we wreck the use of words without pause, we do come to a time when words no longer work. You have stripped the gears. You have shredded the fabric. You have cut the muscle. And no one can speak the truth, and no one can hear the truth any longer. So Amos, behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. And then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will never again pass by them. And the high places of Isaac will be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid to waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Amos chapter 7. Remember our roots in right speech. Remember James saying, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. And let us especially hold on to our roots in this crucial, perhaps the crucial passage in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 8. To renounce oneself, said John Chrysostom, is to treat oneself as if one were another person. That is, consider oneself every day as if it were the edge of mortality. Death makes us mortal. Facing death makes us human. We live at the intersection of present advent and future hope. And what good is the greatest possession if there is no possessor to enjoy it? Take up the cross is a reference to the beginning of the journey. And the next part, follow me, refers to the ongoing life of faith. Baptism first, you could say. Communion second, you could say. And we, like Peter, of course, have aversion to suffering, as did Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is more than a prophet, but he is not less than a prophet. And Mark's harsh portrayal of Peter as Satan is too much for Luke 20 years later, who omits it. And that reaction was probably not unique, for we can understand it too. But our roots, our inheritance, especially here in Mark 8, remind us of the call to struggle in faith, to hold on to what has brought us here, to hold on to our roots. Let us also struggle in faith to face our condition right across this country and right now and in a seriously difficult season of political, economic, cultural, and religious division and discord. We will need to face and to face up to what matters, counts, and lasts. And that means facing and naming mendacity, falsehood in expression and in word. Again, we could add a bit of Amos in concert with Proverbs and James. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will send a famine on the land. Not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. For us, as we watch a vast part of our national culture now careening toward decay, our memory seems to be failing us. Rhetoric and rancor that befit no civilized people. We have somehow accepted, acceded to, accommodated. We forget Emma Lazarus and prefer demagoguery. We forget Lincoln and support nativism. We forget Jesus, the crucified, and cleave to the cry of triumphalism out of fear and out of exhaustion and out of amnesia, both cultural and Christological amnesia. But along comes the gospel upon the Lord's day. If anyone would come after me. Peter Berger reminded us that the very sense we have of lasting earthly injustice, of wrongs not never made right, that real and palpable sentiment, recognition of injustice, is itself a rumor of something more, which we cannot yet see, of course, and which we do not yet know, of course, but maybe in the unforeseen, a heavenly breakfast will again be served, at which the table will seat the resurrection of the just. In the local as well as the large, we in faith want to struggle to face our condition. In a time when many young adults, many students, are facing a combination of anxiety, loneliness, alienation, and depression, we together will want to face this part of our shared condition with regular presence and active listening this very school year. In presence, at meals, in gatherings, at sporting events, simply being present. One friend tries to attend the opening session of every sport, being personally present. Another brings her family along to times on campus for shared service. Yet another makes a habit of walking Commonwealth Avenue once a day. And you, with grace, have given your presence to this service of worship and so to those present here with you. You may share a prayer, a moment, an hour, perhaps a greeting, a handshake, a story. Facing the conditions of our local culture, right here, right now, presence matters. Presence really matters. And in listening, active listening. My dear old friend, a dean in the Agricultural College at Cornell, used to say and repeat, most people can solve their own problems if they have someone who will actively listen to them. And that may be as simple as honestly reflecting what another has said. One says, I'm feeling uncertain about this. And the other responds with active empathy, I do sense that you're really feeling uncertain about this. Especially those new to the college experience from backgrounds where such study was less common or as first generation students can really fully benefit from such. Active listening opens possibilities of new dimensions and new directions. But first, we have to face our condition, not just in the large, but in the local as well. Gene Twenge. The generations have gone from a cohort with resilient mental health, even when they were the age group most at risk during the pandemic, silence, to young people in the midst of a full-blown mental health crisis as they grapple with growing up in the smartphone era, Gen Z. Sherry Turkle, across the river. There is nothing wrong with texting or email or video conferencing, and there's everything right with making them technically better, more intuitive, easier to use, but no matter how good they get, they have intrinsic limitations. People require eye contact for emotional stability and social fluency. A lack of eye contact is associated with depression and isolation and the development of antisocial traits such as exhibiting callousness. One thing is certain, the tool that is handy is not always the right tool. So an email is often the simplest solution to a business problem, even as it makes the problem worse. Let us fully face our condition, both in the large and in the local. And may we also, by grace, hold on to our hopes. We have been the beneficiaries of others who, by example, have shown us how to live with hope, to hold on to our best selves, our hopes and dreams. Decades ago, a dear faithful woman gathered a dozen 20-something couples, including those who had never met each other before, for a meal. Half or more had little babies in tow. We sang and prayed a little, ate a little more, and laughed a whole lot more about the oddities of life, young adult life, parenthood, ministry, and the loneliness lurking behind and above and underneath them all. She gathered us. She gave us to ourselves. She gave ourselves to us. She gave us ourselves by giving us to each other. We came alive. And the next week, the phone rang, and she said, "Hi, how's ministry? How's life? How's that beautiful little daughter? How are your folks? Wasn't that a great brunch? Is Jan there?" From that one gathering, friendships formed and kindnesses were exchanged. A lunch, some golf, car repair, shared worship, a study of the Psalms. The habits of hope, the habits of visitation, the habits of welcome, the habits of outreach, the habits of hospitality, the habits of Christian charity and love, all so dearly central to any genuine form of community, are not necessarily permanent gifts. They have to be struggled for. They have to be held on to. They have to be remembered and practiced. They have to be remembered, and so they have to be modeled. And to be modeled, they have to be practiced. Think with thanks of one or more folks who showed you habits of such hope. Such habits can and will lead us over time to a common hope. And we have some shared, some common hopes, and we should hold on to them. Most reasonable people would agree together that we await a common hope, a hope that our warming globe caught in climate change will be cooled by cooler heads and calmer hearts and careful minds. We await a common hope, a hope that a dangerous world armed to the teeth with nuclear proliferation will find peace through deft leadership toward nuclear detente. We await a common hope, a hope that our culture, awash in part in hooliganism, will find again the language and the song and the spirit of the better angels of our nature. We await a common hope, a hope that our country, fractured by massive inequality between rich children and poor children, will rise up and make education, free education, available to all without measure, poor and rich. We await a common hope that our schools, colleges, and universities will balance a love of learning with a sense of meaning, a pride in knowledge with a respect for goodness, a drive for discovery with a regard for recovery. We await a common hope I hope that our families, for all our differences torn apart by abuse and distrust and anger and jealousy and unkindness, will sit at a long Thanksgiving table this autumn and share the turkey and pass the potatoes and slice the pie and, if grudgingly, show kindness and pity to one another. We await a common hope, a hope that our decisions in life about our callings, how we are to use our time and spend our money, how we make a life, not just a living, will be illumined by grace and generosity. We await a common hope, a hope that our grandfathers and mothers in their age and infirmity will receive care and kindness that accords with the warning to honor your father and mother, that your days be long upon the earth. And we await a common hope, finally a hope not of this world, but of this world as a field of formation for another, not just creation, but new creation, not just life, but eternal life, not just health, but salvation, not just heart, but soul, not just earth, but heaven. Most would agree. We listen again come Sunday for the wind chimes of hope whispering and singing to us, beckoning us into and out from an unseen future. And the chimes are ringing out today in Proverbs and James and Mark. Beloved, as our lessons from Holy Scripture recall for us today, we sound the gospel around the globe. Faith means struggle. Faith involves struggle. Faith, to be fully faithful, engages with struggle. And there are times and seasons when faith takes a hard life and makes it easier. For that, we are honestly grateful. But there are also times when faith takes an easier life and makes it harder, not for the joy and difficulty, but out of a genuine longing for something better. Here, faith leads us into a struggle to hold on to our roots. Here, faith leads us squarely into a struggle truly to face our condition. Here, faith leads us into the struggle to retain, to hold on to our hopes and our dreams. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow. Amen.